The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine.
The first article is titled, The First Time Homeowner's Guide. What to know, how to prepare, and why now is the time to invest in real estate. So you want to build Black wealth? You think you're ready to go from renter to owner? Is beginning a prosperous new chapter for your future next on your to-do list? Buying your first home will achieve all that. In addition to the ability to create generational wealth, in the long term, home ownership is often a cheaper alternative to renting. However, for African Americans, the dream of buying a home has historically been particularly daunting due to persistent social and economic inequalities and systemic racism, including student loan debt, redlining of Black neighborhoods, and predatory lending practices. Thankfully, the tide is turning. An analysis by the National Association of Realtors released last November showed that African American home ownership rates for millennials increased in the first three quarters of 2020. While still small in comparison to white home ownership, it's a step toward improvement of the racial home ownership gap between Black and white households that has ranged between 20% and 30% for more than 100 years. A new report from the National Community Reinvestment Coalition, for example, calls for setting a goal for 60% of the Black population to own their own homes over the next 20 years. We have enlisted the help of two real estate experts to break down everything you need to know to get you into your first home. A.J. Barkley has over 20 years of experience in financial services at Bank of America, having helped numerous first-time buyers achieve their home ownership dreams. She's especially knowledgeable when it comes to affordable housing. Barkley recently led Bank of America to expand its affordable home ownership initiative from $5 billion to $15 billion through 2025, helping some 60,000 people purchase homes. And Lisa Hart has been an award-winning realtor in Washington, D.C. and Maryland for more than 20 years. Whether representing sellers or buyers, Hart uses her vast experience to the utmost advantage on behalf of her clients. The first step. Many make the same mistake when buying a home, getting excited about the process and enlisting a realtor to help them in their search. That's not actually the initial approach to take. The first step is to make sure you identify a trusted advisor, says Barkley. I would recommend a lending specialist or a credit advisor who can help you get prepped and prepared for home ownership. The first thing to do is figure out what you can afford. Understanding your ability to repay is important, as well as what your debt-to-income ratio is. What you want is to make sure you don't start looking for a house that is twice the amount you can afford comfortably, because the goal is to sustain home ownership. When they grant you pre-approval, mortgage lenders simply want to make sure that you can afford your loan and that you are likely to repay it as agreed. A lending or credit specialist will also help you to determine what your out-of-pocket costs will be and to assess how much you will need from the lending institution, along with the down payment. Other closing costs can include loan origination fees, title insurance, surveys, taxes, and credit report charges. If you're not sure where to begin your search for a trusted advisor, Barkley recommends starting with your banking institution. They will let you know if you are almost ready or not quite ready financially and help you come up with a savings plan to get ready, she says. Finding a realtor. Through social media, it's easy to locate real estate agents as they show off their listings and share their success stories with clients. But it is important to ensure that you find the best fit for you. Often that means taking a step back to determine the relationship you want to have with your agent and how they will best suit your overall needs. You want to ask the realtor what their priorities are and how they would work with you, says Barkley. And you obviously want references if you discover that people are doing a great job at delivering for clients. You obviously want to go there. Adds Hart. The realtor should be more than familiar with the areas in which the buyer is looking. Their awareness of that particular market is paramount. Their knowledge of the familiarity with contracts and accompanying addenda is equally important because although buyers are responsible for the offer they sign and submit, it's the realtor who needs to advise the buyer as to what the offer terms mean and how they affect the buyer. Research. Once you've been pre-approved and have connected with both a trusted advisor, lending specialist, and a realtor, then comes the fun part, the search. But before you look for homes through popular real estate listing sites like Zillow, Redfin, or Bright MLS, you need to determine a key factor. First, what type of residence will best serve your needs? And what can you comfortably afford? You have a number of options when purchasing a residential property, a traditional single-family home, a duplex, a townhouse, a condo, or a cooperative. So you will also need to determine the purpose of your home. Is it an investment property, a rental, or are you planning on living in the home? Obviously, each option has its pros and cons, but your decision will ultimately depend on your greater needs and how the home will help you reach your goals. The offer. The real estate market is extremely competitive right now, so your realtor will need to present every scenario possible for you to win against other offers. That includes deciding how much money you want to offer for the house, along with any conditions you want to ask for. And if you want sellers and their agents to take you more seriously, it helps to have a pre-approval letter in hand. In the fast-paced market, it is easy for a buyer to become discouraged, cautioned Hart. Buyers must keep open communication with their realtor. On occasion, as a strategic tactic, your realtor may even ask you to write a heartfelt letter to the seller expressing why you are interested in that particular home. Your agent will then present the offer to the seller's agent, at which point the seller will either accept or issue a counteroffer. Though your realtor will guide you to the best deal possible, you want to make sure it aligns with what's right for you. For example, if your agent suggests you waive the inspection, having a trained professional do an inspection of the property to determine its quality, safety, and overall condition, you agree to buy the house as is. You may be risking unexpected headaches in the form of needed repairs. This will have you digging deeper into a financial hole. If you do end up waiving this inspection by the seller, it is worth paying to have an independent inspector assess the property on your behalf, so you know exactly what you're getting into. Closing. The seller has accepted your offer, and now everything will be smooth sailing. Aha, not so fast. The final stages of the closing process may also present a few hitches, though it will be easy to get through them if you are properly prepared. First, you'll need to put down a deposit to show you're serious about purchasing. The money won't be deposited until after the seller has accepted your offer and is usually kept in an escrow account until then. When the sale closes, you can keep the cash or apply the money toward the purchase. Though you may have gotten an initial pre-approval letter from your lending institution, they now must comply with government regulations requiring proof that they have evaluated you lawfully. They'll require lots and lots of paperwork to verify that you are who you say you are and that you'll be able to pay what you say you can. It's best to start completing this information in advance as not to hold up your loan processing. The necessary documents might include pay stubs covering at least a month of work, your last 2 years of W-2s, at least 2 years business tax returns if you own a business, an explanation letter for any employment gaps, 2 months of bank statements for checking and saving accounts, 2 months of statements for investment and retirement accounts, documentation for real estate already owned, use income if it's on the market, estimate value, mortgages, and so on, and more. Once your paperwork is in and everything is completed, you'll still need to wait for the home to be appraised. Mortgage companies require this to protect their interest in the house and for the results of a title search to make sure no one else is staking a claim to the property you just made an offer on. A closing on the sale is typically scheduled for anywhere from 30 to 45 days after the offer has been accepted. Then it's time for the final step, the closing table. This is where a real estate lawyer will guide you through each document, explaining what it means, where to initial, and where to sign before handing over the keys to your new home. You'll need to bring a government ID, as well as any remaining settlement fees that have been requested of you. The actual dollar amount will be communicated from the settlement statement prepared in advance by the title company. Once all the documents have been signed and all the money is dispersed, you will have successfully closed on your first property. Welcome home. The next article is titled Live Loud, a virtual experience celebrating power and accomplishments of our community. Can't miss content, including powerful daytime interactive sessions from trailblazing leaders and star-studded evening concerts, to back-to-back weekends of thoughtfully curated panels, workshops, demos, and activities just for us to uplift and support living out loud, wealth and power, impacting and informing. From the most important election of generation to unprecedented pandemic to a social justice uprising that forced the world to stop and listen, 2020 gave us moments to implement impactful change in this country. Discover how to be an agent of change in with tools for investing, business, entrepreneurship, policy, and voting, just to name a few. Catch all the powerful topics you don't want to miss during this virtual town hall. Evening concert series, Saturday Night Vibes. Essence is giving you Saturday Night Vibes with our legendary evening concert series with a must-see lineup to benefit and celebrate our Black-owned businesses, entrepreneurs. A moment to hear from your favorite artists and with exclusive collaborations you'll never forget. Virtual Marketplace. Essence is connecting you to some of the best Black-owned businesses you need to know. Shop your favorite brands in a beautifully designed interactive marketplace live. The next article is titled Jasmine's Tale. The singer-songwriter celebrated every Black woman's experience in Hex Tales, but she didn't truly discover the freedom of sharing her own story until now. On January 9th, the day after Jasmine Sullivan released her eagerly anticipated collection, Hex Tales, the Philadelphia-raised artist wrote on Twitter, "What I would love is if me and at Issa Rae did a Hex Tales short film, and I'd add a few extra songs. But I could just be dreaming. Never mind me, I'm crazy." Moments later, Issa Rae answered, "Jasmine, Say Less, nearly 80,000 people co-signed the collaboration, which would sync up a mutual respect dating back to Sullivan's appearance of Insecure's 2017 soundtrack and her performance for Ray's 2018 intimate concert series, Pieces. While both are busy with their respective projects, Ray filming the last season of her hit series and Sullivan headlining the 2021 Essence Festival of Culture presented by Coca-Cola, the Kindred Spirits found time on a Sunday afternoon to speak about advocating for women, therapy, and authentic storytelling. Issa Rae questioned, I just want to dive into, obviously, you, our relationship, and just how much you've inspired me. When I was trying to come up as a writer, your album, Fearless, was such an inspiration. You're such a good storyteller. You're a writer at your heart. Fearless was your debut album, but you have been at this for a while. What were you looking to do with that specific body of work? Jasmine responded, I wish I could say I had a master plan, but I really didn't. I was just doing what felt natural, and luckily, I had gotten with a record company and with people who allowed me to do that. But for me, I just wanted to express myself in the most natural way, and that means me writing my stories. So many of the songs at that time came from a lot of childish stuff I was going through. For example, busting windows out of an ex's car and literally going straight from doing it to not being able to sleep. I was restless because I was still in the moment. And so I just started writing about it. I let my girlfriends hear it and they were like, girl, do your thing. Whatever this leads to, and it led to my world opening up in such a different way. Ray asked, was Bust Your Windows one of your first songs you wrote for that project? Sullivan responded, In Love With Another Man was one of the first songs I wrote. Ray said, okay, it was cheating inspired. Sullivan said, I was not a cheater at that point. Ray said, oh, okay. Talk about the process of creating an album. Even now, you're not calling Hex Tales an album. What do you call it? A mixtape? An EP? Sullivan responded, it's not an EP, but it's changing for me now. I feel like now it's more of a project or an album just based on the effect it's having on women. I called it an EP at first because I felt like it was too short. I had been away for 6 years. I was like, I can't come in and just call it an album. But from the response, what it has turned into for women and what it is doing for women, how it's empowering them, it's like an album. Ray asks, what specifically inspired you this time around? Are you like some artists where you are like, I create my best work when I'm miserable or being wronged? Or are you like, I just feel inspired or I'm happy or I have something to get off my chest? Sullivan said, it's about being inspired to do it. I don't want to believe that I'm in my best when I'm heartbroken. But a lot of inspiration does come from heartbreak, and it hits a different way if you are going through things personally, especially if that's what you like to write about. And I do write a lot of heartbreak songs because I've been in a lot of bad relationships that just give me material. Then there's the label says, it's been 6 years, just write a damn album. Ray, how important is it to you to convey different types of Black womanhood? Sullivan said, before now, I had literally just been concerned about expressing myself and getting my story out there, and other people have connected to that. But for this project, it was important for me to share the stories of the women I love and hold dear to my heart. I feel like they are just as banging and dynamic as me, and I want to give space and opportunity to women, period. I feel like we get caught up in thinking that there is only one of us. Sullivan also said, there can only be one R&B superstar. There can only be one rap girl at a time. That's not true. God was not stingy when he was giving out gifts. And you're not the only person. There are many other women, especially black women, who can do what you do. And let's all create spaces for each other to get out there and do that. And the women in my life, my girlfriends, my mom, my aunts, the reason that y'all see a glimpse of any kind of greatness in me is because of those women. My girlfriends and I, we literally grew up with each other. We have experienced so much and gotten through so much and grown through so much. I wanted to do a service to everybody else by letting people hear that these are my girlfriends and they're just as dope as me and just as dope as you and your girlfriends, your aunts, and your moms. I just wanted to create space. Ray, you said a word, something that's so true for even my own experience. Thinking about the show, it was based off of my best friend and drawing from the real life experiences of the friends around me. And that's something you touched on, support from other women in general. How have you felt that way? Have you found a community within the music industry that you feel props you up? Even hearing Ari Lennox on Hex Tales makes me wonder, what has it been like with other music industry women? Sullivan responded, I'm very private myself, which I'm going to therapy for. I just started, so. Ray says, congratulations. Sullivan said, thank you. Ray said, I'm going to be right behind you, girl. Sullivan said, it's a milestone. Listen, I was about to cry. She was like, take a deep breath and give yourself some credit that you just started therapy. And I was like, you know what? I will give myself the benefit of the doubt. I'm slow to make new friends, but what I have seen so far with the young women who I got a chance to work with, they are so giving of their gifts, and I'm just so humbled by this new community of girls. Ray said, you touched on being a private person. So private person to private person, I'm just curious if yours comes from general shyness, if it comes from a need to protect yourself, if it comes from having watched others be more public and deciding not to do the same for yourself. Sullivan responded, protection. Yes, I'm constantly guarding my heart because when I do let it go, this is so specifically when it comes to men, I think it goes so bad that it scares me. Ray said, what do you mean when you say let it go? Sullivan responded, I mean, when I choose to open up and give my heart, I completely give it. I don't just half give it. I give everything I have. So my private nature probably comes from protecting myself after having given of myself and things going horribly wrong. Ray said, but you're so public in your music, or do you feel shielded like, oh, nobody's going to know that this is truly what I went through? Or do you treat those as diary entries and that's the most public you'll be? Sullivan said, yeah, that's the most public I'll be. It's through my music and it's also been therapy for me. So that's how I express myself. I really don't talk a lot, and I didn't realize that until I was going through writer's block, actually, for this project. I was going through writer's block, and I was losing my mind because I was like, oh my gosh, that's because I don't speak a lot. So I don't have this other way of expressing myself when all of this stuff is inside of me and it wants to get out of me. And so, yeah, I put it in my music. Ray said, how hard was it during the first therapy session to even talk about yourself? Sullivan said, the first 5 minutes I was holding back tears because I was like, wow, this is the first time I'm actually speaking about my feelings, and it's not in a song, and it doesn't require notes. I don't need to impress anybody with what it is that I'm actually doing. This is the first time. So I was holding back tears even doing that. But after that first 5 minutes, I was surprised by how much I was enjoying speaking to somebody and somebody listening to me. And I didn't have to perform to do it. But finding the right therapist is a process. Because I went to therapy one time years ago and I hated the experience. And I feel like it stopped me from going for a long time. And then I found this new lady and it's a totally different experience. So you have to find the right person for you that you actually want to open up to. But once you do that, a weight lifts off of you just from speaking, just from telling your story. And that's what Hex Tales was. It was like, tell it, girl, tell it, see yourself free. Issa Rae is the author of The Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl and the creator and writer of the HBO series Insecure.
The next article is titled Summer Screen Kings. With streaming platforms continuing to reign supreme and movie theaters opening back up, audiences have more ways than ever to catch this season's most highly anticipated releases. Wherever you choose to see them, these leading men promise to be worthy every second. Don Cheadle. There's no scene that Don Cheadle doesn't steal and no role in which he doesn't excel. Though nowadays, the actor notes he is particular about the parts he chooses. My first professional job was 35 years ago, and now it is about only doing things that excite me, he says. Fans are eagerly awaiting his appearance as the villain in Space Jam, A New Legacy. Alongside LeBron James, Cheadle says he's more than ready not to be the hero after his 11 years as part of the Marvel Universe playing James Rhodes, aka War Machine. You have to be able to imagine all of that world, he says, of the new film, which is a mix of live action and CGI green screen work. It is much harder than a show like Black Monday, where you are actually talking to human beings and having real interactions. But as everything he touches, Cheadle makes it look easy. It's a testament to his proficiency as an actor and the intentionality he's brought to every role since starting out. As an actor, when you perform, you are kind of the hub of the wheel, and everything's focused on you, he explains, if you are paying attention, and if you have your own eyes and ears open, you get to learn a lot about what's happening around you. I want it to be eminently hireable, so I wanted to have my hand in everything and know now how to be a storyteller in this space. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.